Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Nearly. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Better. Please sit down. We are an Easter people. We are a people who are celebrating a living God who died for us and rose again. That is something absolutely fantastic and wonderful that we should be overjoyed and overflowing about all the time. Easter, for me, is more significant than Christmas. We need Christmas because unless God is made flesh and lives amongst us, we cannot have the death on the cross and the resurrection. But for me, Easter is incredibly special because at Easter, God fulfills the promises of the scriptures. God grants us redemption so that each and every one of us can approach the throne of God in heaven without the encumbrance of the law that was there for the chosen people, Israel. And with the resurrection, we see Jesus in his eternal body, a body that can consume food and is promised to each and every one of us gathered here this morning. I'd like to focus on those two readings we've just heard. In the gospel reading, we hear the disciples frightened, withdrawn, hiding away from the authorities. Luke truncates the events post-Easter. And so we get the empty tomb. We get Jesus appearing to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, who may or may not have been with the 11 in the bits that we then hear from St. Luke's gospel this morning. Jesus comes and stands amongst them. They've already been told he's alive. The women who saw him at the empty tomb have told them that. They've already heard from the disciples on the road to Emmaus that Jesus is alive. And they don't believe it when he comes and stands with them. They think that they are seeing a ghost. They think that they are hallucinating. And so Jesus spends time with them, convincing them that this is Jesus in the resurrection, the eternal body that each and every one of us is promised. And then tells them they are witnesses and they need to go out and share what they have seen and what they have heard with the rest of the world. We jump then to Acts, which is the other side of the Feast of Pentecost, which we'll celebrate in a few weeks' time. Those frightened, scared, and timid disciples are now going out into society. Peter and John go to the temple to pray. And what we're missing from the Acts reading this morning is the encounter with a lame man who sat at the gates of the temple in Jerusalem who asked them for money. And Peter says, well, I haven't got any money, but I've got something better. Stand up and walk again. Little bit of a warning with that. When God gives you something, there's generally consequences. The man who was at the gate begging had been carried to the temple gate for years and then carried home again at the end of the day. He'd spent his time asking for alms from the people who passed. It was part of their religious duty to assist those who couldn't work. He's given the use of his legs again. Fantastic. But now he's got the responsibility of supporting the people who were supporting him. So when God does things for us, when God gives us gifts, there are consequences, there is change, and we need to be ready for that. It's all very well, you might say, but what's that got to do with us sat here in St. Mary's on this third Sunday after Easter? Well, we have that responsibility. We are the witnesses. We haven't witnessed Jesus firsthand, but we have that firsthand witness handed down to us through the centuries. And it's our job to continue the work that Jesus gave to those first disciples at the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, and is inferred in St. Luke's Gospel here this morning. to go out and make disciples of all nations. It's a bit scary, isn't it? And you might turn to me and say, well, Nick, that's your job. You're the one who's been to theological college. You're the one who's got a dog collar around his neck. It's your job to go and make disciples of all nations. It's our job to sit here and listen and be taught. No. Sorry, folks. It doesn't work like that. God has given each of you gifts. God has given you different gifts. Some of you might have intellectual gifts, being able to understand mathematics, a bit of a closed science, being able to explain mathematics to other people. Some might have a gift for languages. Some might have a gift for compassion, understanding. Some people have many practical gifts, gifts of working with wood, with stone, with metal, working with the soil in the garden and making things grow. All of you have different gifts, and God calls you to share those gifts with the people around you. I only meet a small subset of people. I don't meet the people that you meet. The people that you encounter in your daily lives, whether that be through work, whether that be through leisure, whether it be through going shopping, going taking the dog for a walk, those people need to see God through you. Those people need to encounter God by your words and your deeds. They look at you and they see Easter people, people who have a relationship with God. And that relationship is built on prayer and study of the scripture. And again, you might turn to me and say, well, Nick, at your ordination, you promised the bishop to do the daily office. Well, that's an hour of your day devoted to a couple of Jewish scriptures, a couple of Christian scriptures, and a bunch of psalms. There you go. That's your work. But it's a matter of fitting God in and making God part of your daily life. It may be that you choose to turn the radio on and listen to the thought for the day. It's not always guaranteed to be a Christian thought for the day, but it's quite possible to then take what you've been hearing in whichever background and faith denomination it's come from and to think, well, which Christian scripture can I apply to that teaching today? It may be that you take time to carry on your Lent course and to study the scriptures that were given to you there and to take time each day to read a little bit of scripture and to have somebody explain some of that scripture to you. It may be you spend a lot of time driving. We've got these wonderful things called podcasts now. You can stick them on whilst you're driving. I'm not saying you have to spend every hour in the driving seat listening to God stuff, but a little bit, please. And ensure that that time of reflection on scripture can wash over you and deepen your understanding. That's where Peter and John were going on that morning. They were going into the temple to hear scripture read to them and to spend time in prayer. And prayer is how we build relationship with God. And when we build relationship with God through prayer and study of the scripture, it changes who we are. It changes what other people see. And that is what makes us Easter people. But I go back to that word of warning I gave you earlier. When God gives you gifts, it results in consequences and change. Just as the man who was given the ability to walk again now had to support those who had been supporting him. As God develops your gifts and blesses you through the people around you and blesses the people around you through your words and deeds, you will find yourselves changed. You will find God working through you and giving you a deeper understanding of God's love for each and every one of you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.